Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, and kind of a little way into the beginning. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's our text. Because it is about Jesus, it is all about Jesus. Now, it's easy to go around and talk generic religion. The examples are all over the place, generic religion. Drive down the street and you find signs. One of them says, 7 days without prayer makes one weak. Okay, that's general religion. Hasn't said anything about Jesus, has it? Another one. No matter how big the burden, God is able to lift it. Okay, that's general religion. Just the generic variety. And you can go all over the world and you can speak those things and you won't find yourself in much trouble for saying them. Only a few places. Every religion will talk about prayer and about God knowing what our needs are. But Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. That's in his first letter to the Corinthians. We preach Christ crucified. Put it in context. He says, Jews seek for signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And again, the examples are all over the place. There are countless examples of people looking for a sign, just some kind of sign from God. I want to see a sign from God. And then there are churches that will talk about signs from God. Signs in nature, signs in this, signs in that. But that's, again, just generic religion. Every religion wants signs from God. Greeks seek for wisdom. Every culture, every society searches for wisdom. Paul comes along, says, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and foolishness to the Gentiles. But for us who are being saved, Christ the wisdom of God, Christ the power of God, let's extend, Christ the resurrection, Christ the life, Christ the eternity, Christ our gift of heaven, Christ everything to us. Now this is not unique to our time. Gave you the example of what Paul said to the Corinthians sometime later during the Roman Empire. It was okay if you wanted to call yourself a Christian. The Roman government could live in peace with that just so long as your Christianity did not mean that you would not take that pinch of incense and go to the altar and sprinkle it on the coals and make it a sacrifice to the divine genius of the emperor, recognizing his connection with the divine. Oh, they'd reason with you. Just a pinch of incense. What harm can it do? Recognize our religion and we'll recognize yours. What harm can that do? And they'd reason with you some more. You know, you don't even really have to believe it. Just sprinkle the incense. We'll let you go. And they'd reason with you some more. Just do it. We really don't want to have to beat you. Oh, now come the threats. And Christians struggled to remain faithful, saying, Jesus is the only way, the only way to the Father. His is the only name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And there, the Christians got in trouble. But we preach Christ crucified. Another example. 500 years ago, minus a few months, this fellow, first name of Martin, trotted off to the church doors with hammer and nails and a piece of paper saying, you know how I grew up? How I grew up believing that you seek God? We got it wrong. Believing that the path of religion is that my first duty is to love God and then love others and then love myself, Jesus, others, yourself, that spells joy. I heard that in my lifetime. This is wrong. You tell me to love God, and you tell me that God threatens to punish me for all eternity, and I'd better love him? When you say that, all of a sudden, I'm scared of him. And now you're telling me to love one who threatens me? I can't love him. I'm afraid of him. No, we've got it all wrong. And instead of that, what Christianity is all about is what God has done for you. It's about Jesus coming into this world to suffer and die for you. About Jesus facing the sin that we'd all piled up in our lives. And let me borrow a phrase from the news. And when we had this vast sin storm going on in our lives, he didn't just dabble at the edges. He went right to the heart of it to take the sin on himself, to be the sin hanging on the cross in my place, so that God could take his holiness, his righteousness, his sinlessness, and clothe me in what Jesus has done. Water. And clothe me in what Jesus has done. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's not me searching for God, because if I search for God, I get it wrong. It's God searching for me. That's what the Bible says. He is the good shepherd who goes in search of his sheep. So in Luther's day, when he started talking that way and saying, it's not what we do for God, all of a sudden, he'd broken out of that confinement of generic religion and said, no, it is what God has done for us. And that is why Christianity is 180 degrees reversed of any other religious path. It's the path from heaven to earth, not the path of us from earth to heaven searching for God. So back to the gospel lesson. Jesus has to teach his disciples all of this. Leading up to the gospel lesson, there is what? The feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus shows himself to be the one who watched over the people of Israel going through the wilderness and fed them with the manna. Walking on the water, he's in control of the very elements. Healing of the Canaanite woman's daughter. And in every healing he does, there's a price to be paid, and the price will be measured out in the flesh and the suffering and the dying and the rising of Jesus. And then he gets to this in Matthew 16, who do you say that I am? And it's into that setting that Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Does Peter understand what he's saying? And the answer is simply, no. He does not know. Does Peter know what it means to be the Christ? Well, after this text, going right on to the next verse, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go up to Jerusalem to suffer many things and die and rise, and Peter takes him aside and says, Lord, never, it should never happen to you. Good idea, Peter. Talk him out of the one act of salvation that is the only hope for my soul. Peter doesn't get it. He doesn't know what it means. You are the Christ. Because the disciples, when they begin to follow Jesus, what they're thinking is, oh, a king, a kingly king, who can do miracles, set up a kingdom, drive out the Romans, feed the multitudes, do healings. A kingly king. Slide right on past that other part. You know, the ugly part. The part that involves nails and bleeding and dying and a tomb. That part. It was, I cannot remember where it was, 15, 20, 25 years ago. I was reading, and I think it was Christianity Today. Somebody came out with this. They started talking about a Christless Christianity. Oh. Yeah. That's around. Drive down the street. Look at those signs. How many of them are telling you about Jesus? How many of them are just about generic Christianity? Or you hear stories about places where people go to worship and not once in the sermon is Jesus mentioned? How does that happen? Slid right past that part that makes Christianity Christianity. In response to that article, I started talking about not only a Christless Christianity, but how about a crossless Christ? Where, okay, we'll talk about Jesus as our friend, as, ooh, he's God, and he sees all things, and he answers prayer, and we'll slide past that, again, that ugly part. The nails and blood and dying part, because that offends people. Just slide right past that. But we preach Christ crucified. Stumbling block, foolishness to some, but the only way of salvation. A bleeding and dying and then rising from the dead Christ. That's what we're here to talk about. Because that is the only thing that matters. Really, it is. And that message of salvation in Jesus Christ, Peter didn't come up with that himself. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Yeah, blessed is the opposite of well done. Blessed is the opposite of, that's pretty clever on your part. Blessed is the opposite of good work. Blessed is, you didn't do this. My Father, through the Scriptures, through the work of the Holy Spirit, He brought your heart to this. And now, this truth is open to you. And, by the way, I'm going to call this confession of faith the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and then I'm going to name you Peter. Petros means the rock, so I'll name you after the words. Later on, Peter In his first letter it says, and we all are living stones built on the living stone that is Jesus. So this confession of faith that has come down to us through many languages, through many generations, through different cultures, comes to us, and it is the one message of salvation, the one truth that stands there in the center of everything for every nation and people and language. It is the one truth that stands there for every generation, and it opens up heaven to me. And we preach Christ crucified. There's a whole lot more to say about this, but that's a good stopping place. It'll leave something for the next week. In Jesus' name, amen.